Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. November 4th, 2020. Can joy be eternal? Question: what state does a person mostly feel joy from? From the past, the present, or the future? Answer: from the present, of course. This feeling is the most acute. As for the future, it is the anticipation of joy. It may last longer. And the joy from the past leaves a certain impression and turns into knowledge, into what we call a reshimo, informational record. Question: joy is a consequence of fulfilling our desires. But the fulfillment of desires extinguishes them, and it turns out that the joy disappears. How can the joy be made to last forever? Answer: it is necessary to separate the feeling of joy itself and the object that caused it. For example, if you feel joy from the achievements of your child who is constantly developing, then this joy does not disappear. And if you are happy about some of your successes, then this feeling goes away very quickly. In other words, when joy is felt from an external source, then it can be long-lasting, almost endless. From CabTV's Communication Skills, August 7, 2020. Hatred Detector. The next stage of the pandemic is the revelation of evil that the coronavirus is leading us toward. We will understand that we must keep our distance from each other in accordance with our internal separation. Gradually, the connection between the material and spiritual world will begin to manifest. Therefore, I don't think the pandemic will end. Medicines will appear, but they will not help, and if they help for one virus, it will only be to reveal another, even more dangerous one. The coronavirus shows us our internal relationship to each other in external parameters: I hate someone by 2 meters, and someone by 20. The quarantine distance reflects the hatred that exists between us. I'm forbidden to approach someone if I don't treat them well. Maybe they'll even invent a detector that starts buzzing if you get too close to someone. This is called the revelation of evil, because I see how badly I treat people and that I must correct my attitude. This will be the cure for the coronavirus. In spiritual space, our closeness is determined by the law of similarity of qualities. And that is why such events happen to us, in this world. We gain a new perception of reality, because I can get closer to you or further away depending on how I think about you, good or bad. If I really want what's best for you, I can get closer and closer. But only up to a certain limit, no more than that. I feel the border between us. We are like charged particles in a spiritual field that cannot arbitrarily approach or move away, but always maintain a balance between them. So we begin to feel ourselves floating relative to each other to the extent of the quality of our qualities or their difference. The distance will change as the attitude changes, and everything will become so obvious that it will allow us to quickly correct ourselves and become like one man with one heart. There will be no difference between us, only one common desire. There will be no diseases and viruses. The virus will turn out to be useful, since it has brought us to this state, to a common embrace. The main thing is to find out that we need the help of the upper force hidden in nature. This force is the source of life, and therefore, it created all the particles of creation and develops them until they reach the sense of life. Therefore, we need this force that can connect plus with minus at all levels, so that it can help us at our human level. On the human level, this power will not come by itself without our call. It leaves us free choice. It only awakens us by appearing to us as a negative force, so that we ask it to act positively between us, as it is said, husband and wife, Shehinah between them. This is what we must ask, demand, and pray for together. We have only one way out: to correct ourselves, and then the good connection between us will not allow the virus to manifest itself. Until we understand this, the coronavirus will not disappear. It will be reborn in various modifications and poison our lives until we realize that only by improving our relations with each other will we neutralize the virus. Otherwise, the virus will pass from humans to animals, and from animals to insects, to such tiny ones that it is impossible to fight at all. The virus will be everywhere. It will be carried by beetles, flies, and birds and force us to be afraid of every mosquito. And most importantly, products will be infected with it. I can lock myself in a house and turn it into a fortress, but I need supplies inside this fortress. And all the products will be contagious. In any tomato, cucumber, or water bottle there may be viruses, everywhere. After all, everyone has egoism, which means we will all suffer. I may not leave the house, but I need to breathe, and I will inhale viruses along with the air. How else can we be pushed to say, enough? We are ready to do anything for the sake of correction. From CAB TV's Writers' Meetings, October 22, 2020. The main thing is to stick together. If we yearn for the Creator, we attract the reforming light, which corrects us, brings us closer, and organizes us. Day by day, we feel new thoughts and new desires coming to us. They do not just appear accidentally out of thin air. All this comes purposefully, like elements of the single system in which we exist. There is nothing accidental. Therefore, I should not blame myself for not being as sharp today as I was yesterday. Yesterday, I was thinking more seriously and feeling more deeply, but today, I suddenly cannot do that. Yet, all this is organized from above for my correct advancement from state to state. The main thing we need is to stick together. This is the only effort that we need to make. And everything else will be arranged from above. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, October 26, 2020, Writings of Rabash, What Are Torah and Working the Way of the Creator? Michael Leitman, on Quora, as a new Quoran, how should I deal with hate comments on Quora? You should be thankful for their responses, that what you write touches them. It means that you share a certain level of connection, even though it is negative for the time being. However, you should try to understand why they think the way that they do, and also not focus on who is right or wrong, but on what is ultimately the truth. The truth is a complex concept because a person can hold an opinion believing that it is the truth, but an examination into that opinion's sources could very well reveal that it is in fact not the truth. Therefore, we should support each other in emphasizing a sincere search for the truth. Our opinions would then hold less importance than questions about where we actually exist, and what might happen to us, while we are here. It is because today we find ourselves standing on rickety foundations, discovering from one day to the next just how fragile we are. Whether it is the coronavirus or myriad other problems in health, money, relationships or some unforeseen disaster that could affect us, at any given moment, today's problems can hit any person in any location, and of any race, age, gender and class. Our current era is characterized by increasing global interconnection and interdependence. We would thus be wise to examine the extent to which we are connected, and how we could realize our connections positively. Also, we would be wise to prioritize such a scrutiny above the battle for who is right or wrong based on our current level of understanding of ourselves and the world. We would also be wise to seek how to put aside our anger and accusations, and let simple common sense guide us, to a more neutral zone where our personalities and emotions are secondary to a search for facts on what is happening in our lives, the world and nature. It would be similar to how scientists conduct research, with an attempt at freeing the investigation from emotional baggage. If we could support each other to centralize our focus on that kind of neutral direction, freeing ourselves from tendencies to sway one way or another, then we would set foot on a path more optimally directed at the truth. I thus wish us all strength to rise above our divisions and differences, and to observe our circumstances from aside, as much as it is possible. If we develop mutual support in order to view our lives from a neutral viewpoint above our emotions, we will then be able to energize our lives with a renewed sense of hope. A new and more unified perspective would open up to us, and we would see our common goal of greater unification above hatred and division as worthwhile for us all to reach. New Life 497. Dreams and Controlling Fate.
Hello, and thank you for being with us here in New Life. Series of shows with Rav Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Rav Leitman. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Today we want to speak with Rav Leitman about dreams. We had one talk with him. It was very interesting, and there's a lot of questions left. Let's hope we can go through all the questions and receive answers about the subject of dreams with all the myths and a lot of confusion. We want to make order to understand about dreams. Nitza, why don't you open the discussion? Yes, in the previous show, you explained about the sources of the dreams, the role of the dreams, how it helps us in our development. In this program, we want to understand the solution or the meaning of the dream. We know that in a dream there's a very special language. It's not our regular language. There's no rational part that works during the day. Some say that in the dream there is a universal language of symbols and signs. And we see many people want to understand certain dreams, which are very important, and we feel that there is some kind of hidden meaning or message, maybe can help our development. And we are looking for this solution. There is a saying in the Talmud, a dream not solved like a letter not opened. And we don't want to miss, we want to receive as much information as we can. So we want to understand, how do you treat solving of dreams? I never pay attention to dreams. I don't think I ever wanted to invite dreams upon me and to try and remember what I dreamt the previous night. I don't pay any attention or importance to dreams, because there are two different kinds of people. There are the people who live. I explained about Kabbalah to a friend that it speaks about the meaning of life. And he says, he didn't understand. We live because we live. What is there to think about? That's it. We just live. What do we live for? What do we have in life? Should we ask about it? No. Some people think that we live a certain amount of years and that's it. We die. That is why some people treat like that and some people differently. Those who just live, regular people, we see maybe they see great importance to know what will happen now, 5 years or 10 years from now, because they are in the hands of destiny, of fate. And maybe blind fate. And if they would know a bit more about the future, it will give them, maybe, that's how they think, it will give them opportunities, possibilities, to take care of themselves, to change their destiny. We have now very big questions, is it possible or not? Because if it's not possible, you rather not know. Why do I need to know now what will happen 3 years from now? Maybe, if it's a good thing, but if it's a bad thing, I can reveal, and we see that we're not heading to a better place, usually. That is why I think that people who are called Kabbalists, which have tools in their hands, that they can change destiny, then they don't need dreams and to the solutions. Because each and every moment they learn how is it better to realize their life, towards what goal, what is the best way and shortest way. That is why it's all in their hands. Dreaming this or that, it's not important. It's like someone would write all the book of my life, and I would, like I have a diary. I read from the diary, today, tomorrow, the next day. Would it be good? It would be great. No, it would be horrible. Why good? We wake up in the morning, we don't know anything. That's the best. If I had insurance, I would agree. No. If there was written things, Thursday, there's shouting. On Wednesday, you're fired. On Thursday, you break your leg. Wait, our life is so. So why would you want to know? How would you live today if you would see ahead of time? A week or a year. Complete depression. So when is it recommended to give a person viewing of the future? If he can write himself. If he can write the diary himself. This is the wisdom of Kabbalah. This is the true solution with all the dreams. Then why does nature hide this information? Because there's nothing in it. There's no need. But rather, what a person doesn't know 2, 3, 4 days from now, and we see that animals feel it. There's a tsunami, a hurricane or something, then animals can sense it. Their life and what they depend on, they feel it. But the person doesn't even know about that, because he has a vessel to keep himself safe. And other than that, he has no approval to know about this. It seems to him, it seems to us that we can protect ourselves if we examine these ecological phenomenons, but we have no need in it. We would never exactly know what will come upon us. And if we would know, it wouldn't help us. Because we are broken in our social connections. We wouldn't be able to keep ourselves safe. But again, to the people that through the wisdom of Kabbalah can rise above the blind fate, that we say it is written and that's how it is. Only Kabbalists. Even if I'm just a beginner, yes, you're starting to change your destiny. Not only you and all your world, because we're all connected together. Our world is integral. We know we're like a small village. It has been like this always, but now it's more obvious in our eyes. So a person that changes his destiny changes the destiny of all humanity and all reality, and vice versa. To change his private destiny, he must change the fate of all humanity, because he doesn't change himself, because he's a part of the system. I have a question from a different direction. Joseph, Yosef, he had ability to solve the dreams of Pharaoh. Where did he get this ability? Called our history as a people, if we can go even further, or previous, and see all the dreams he had. We see dreams are very important. Yaakov, who connects to the upper forest, angels, dreams, ladders, we see it has a lot of influence. Then we see Yosef. Where does Joseph get this ability to solve dreams? And like you said now, it wasn't only a private effect. It changed Egypt, which was a central place, and he caused a big change to humanity in those days. All these great people that hold in the middle line, like Yaakov. What is the middle line? Middle line is the ability to hold nature in both sides, good and evil, and to build the right combination, which is called the middle line. They, these people, are able to change destiny, to change themselves and the general, like Yaakov, which rose to the degree of Israel, and then Yosef. The problem wasn't the dream, but the solution of the dream. Yosef, he wasn't dreaming himself, he was solving dreams for others, including Pharaoh.
And
that is because he holds the middle line and is able to see through this middle line everything coming out of this process. But it's not a dream, we need to understand. It's not that we had some kind of person there or Pharaoh and they dreamt and some Jewish person came and solved their dreams. It is all in spiritual details. Torah doesn't speak about this world. Like we say, of course not dreams. Then what, yes? What does it explain? Torah explains and tells us about rising in the degrees of spirituality, that a person develops himself more and more to resemble the Creator. Adam, from the word Dome, resembling the Creator. Torah speaks about how to resemble completely, clinging on to the Creator. The dream, what I said in the previous talk that we had, the dream is called that we go through this stage to the other, to the next, like from one first gear to second gear, neutral in the middle, then again neutral, and then third gear. Between degrees, between gears, there is a state that connects the previous and next stage. It's called neutral if we look at a gearbox. And with us, it's called night, dream, where we lose what we had yesterday and then we are ready for tomorrow. The process that you described is development of consciousness, of awareness, that rises each time. And between every degree, there's a stage of dream. As if you're losing. No, nothing is lost. I store what I had before, and through that, I feel and get ready towards tomorrow. Sometimes we see people fantasizing, and people come and say, "What are you dreaming about? Stop dreaming." My question, these people that had the ability, people that had the middle line that can combine the negative and positive, the evil and good, like Yaakov and Yosef, if a person can develop this ability, can he seemingly dream where he wants to go and truly get there? You understand? Usually we look at a person, if he has dreams, he imagines a better tomorrow, but it's not realistic. Tomorrow, I meaning the future. Do I have a way to take a blank page, to dream about something better, and to attain it? Who is able to draw the dream and to realize it? Or what is the conditions? Maybe everyone can. Depending on the dream. You're not speaking about a dream. You're talking dreaming about a better future in our life, not during the night. They don't call it dreams. No, because I have this question. If a person is able to bring himself to a state that he truly develops a strong desire to a goal, and he puts it as the goal of his life, we need to ask, where did he receive this thought? And it is possible that he has some kind of special duty. One has a duty to be a great doctor, and the other to be a governor. And the third one is to be a spiritual person, or in some different way. These things awaken in our point in the heart that each and every one has. The urge to be something. Either we receive from the environment. We have many people in the same environment, but each one receives something else. This data we receive from the general plan of nature. And this I want to ask. When you explained about dreams, you said that there is a plan that we don't know of. You said animals sometimes feel more than people even, because they're connected to this system of nature. Take me, for example, Oren. There's a plan that I'm unaware of. And there's my future, my destiny. How can I dream in correlation with what my purpose is? Doesn't matter what, a doctor, a governor, How can I combine and match what I dream and what is planned for me? Should there be a correlation between my dream and my destiny and this hidden plan in nature? It will happen nonetheless. It doesn't matter if you understand or not. It doesn't matter. The general plan will realize itself. Where do you have thoughts coming to you each moment? You're in connection with different people and all of a sudden something happens. It's all from this plan, general plan. And we are like puppets. If you want to rise above this plan, you need to rise to the degree of the forces that govern this world. The wisdom of Kabbalah allows you to do it. But for that, you need a strong desire. What is the ticket to that place? This ticket is rising above your ego, because there are the desires and thoughts, actions, that they are all in bestow. What is bestow? Not for themselves. To live there, you need to attain tzimtzum, masach, some kind of shield to put on yourself that you will never think. How to say? No action towards yourself in your own benefit. You would be shielded from it, safe from it, and then you're allowed to enter. You would think only to the benefit of the general plan. So it realizes itself in a good way, in a quick, manner. That is my dream? To realize the dream? I don't know if it's yours, but if a person dreams about it, he can attain it. He joins these powers. They are called angels. That's how they're called. He joins them, and he takes part very efficiently. Is it scary, these angels? No, it's powers like we see powers in our world. But you know how to power to work with them. Wait, I have fears. What powers, angels? Angels are forces of nature, like we see gravity. It's called angels. Manage with all these misconceptions. I have a lot of questions about angels. They put you into the control room. You have entered to the control room. You take part with all different kinds of forces to advance humanity to the desired goal. When you enter there, you need to take only the power of love with you. What does love have to do with this control room? Because then you will enforce and govern all the powers for the good of humanity. I receive control. Your destiny has nothing to do with you anymore. It's not in your interest. What interests you is humanity. Souls. You receive control on all the plan of creation and to push it forward, accelerate this positive advancement. These special people of Yaakov and Yosef, we have it today. Today they're called Kabbalists. They receive entrance to this control room because they have the desire to do only good for humanity. Yes, they corrected themselves. Do they see? I have one more minute. Can these people see? It's like all the plan is transparent. He sees everything. What can he see and can't? I can't speak about this. Whatever he needs is opened and revealed to him. What not is not. When he takes part in this general plan, these different windows open and close. These windows that open and close, it depends on love? No, it's not only dependent on him. Because other than him, there's many other people that are there in different roles. It's like a VIP room. Yes? This is the next world. Every time you say next world, I remember a funeral. This control room is this next world. People who received entrance to this room is in our life. We don't have to die. Of course, it doesn't have anything to do with life or death in our body. You're talking about it has nothing to do with dreams at night. Has nothing to do with my beast. Do they enter it when they're awake? Yes, they're awake. Only awake. In the awake mode. Why only when they're awake? Because when a person sleeps, it's like an animal dreaming. And the Kabbalists, when they're awake, they work through their powers towards the good for all reality and existence. So they accelerate this plan and bring all of humanity to completeness. That is the solution of the dream. That is the solution of the dream. That you're in the control room and you solve all these troubles and problems. Each time trying to pass gears to a higher gear. Where are we heading? To completeness, to holiness. Thank you, Rav Lightman. We're going. Even in the trunk, we will ride with you. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time. Chaim Chadashim, new life. Goodbye.
The right to respect. Question. Respect, from the Latin respectus, means attention, respect, protection, avoid harming. Respect is defined as a respectful attitude, a special assessment of someone based on recognition of their merits, achievements, or high qualities. What do you mean by this word? Answer. Respect is an assessment of a person according to his qualities, merits, and admiration for his achievements. Question. In your books you write that respect of others is even more important in a person's life than money. But according to Maslow's pyramid, the highest is self-development, self-realization, knowledge. Why are you talking about respect anyway? Answer. It depends on how you treat it. Respect for another, for the Creator, for something outside of ourselves, is the property that pushes us toward realization. Question: do you think everyone has the right to be respected? Answer: any person who tries to fulfill his function given to him by nature is worthy of respect in his aspiration. Question: what human quality is worthy of respect? Answer: desire for constant growth, self-realization. A person must constantly check himself how worthy of self-respect he is, for what and how he can respect himself. This is due to the awareness of your personality, with self-control. He must respect himself for fulfilling his destiny. From the CAB TV's Communication Skills, August 7, 2020. Principles of Effective Learning. Remark: there are several principles of effective teaching. First, it takes time to grasp the practice of a new skill or craft. It is said it takes at least 10 years to become a specialist. My comment: yes. It is even longer in Kabbalah. Knowledge cannot be acquired without effort. Remark: second, you need constant access to the best teachers. My comment: for this we have our sources instead. Since the death of my great teacher Rabash, I do not see who can replace him. It is impossible. He was the last of the Mohicans, and now we are moving toward complete correction according to his method. Remark: I meant that today, thanks to the internet, you can learn from the best teachers. My comment: this is not the point. There are simply no teachers on the level of Rabash in the world. Remark: another important principle is the visual assimilation of information. They say that 50 to 90% of the brain's resources use visual perception. But you rarely use tools like presentations or even blueprints in lectures. My comment: the point is that spiritual states cannot be represented graphically. Therefore, they are almost never used in Kabbalah. There was a period when many new students came to me, and literally in every lesson I drew, sketched, and depicted for them. But they have moved forward and they do not need these blueprints today. They perceive them internally, speculatively. From CAB TV's Management Skills, June 24, 2020. Holding the steering wheel of the management of creation. A 10. The minimal system that resembles the whole of creation can impact everything. This means that you have the steering wheel by which you can impact not only our world, but also all the worlds. If you mutually cooperate correctly in the 10, you ascend to a higher level in the hierarchy of mutual cooperation of the whole system. To the extent that you are connected between you, this is the impact from the level in which you find the connections between you in the 10. Then you really have the steering wheel in your hands. And people around you will begin to understand that we are entering a special living system, which actually exists and which actually impacts the whole world. It is only to the extent that we participate correctly in the 10, that we participate openly and practically all over the world, in the whole system of creation, in all the worlds. What is this principle? There are 125 levels of spiritual attainment, and we have to ascend to the first level. To the extent that we unite in a 10, we will begin to determine our state on the spiritual ladder and thus ascend. The greater the unity in the 10, the higher the level we will ascend. The more we unite, the higher the level we will ascend. The higher you are, the wider perspective you automatically have of the integral system of all the worlds, and thus you impact them more accordingly. This means that the steering wheel is gradually revealed, and thanks to it, you can navigate and manage things a bit to the left and a bit to the right. You begin to understand the gradual cooperation of all the elements in the system. You will be able to actually manage them at least like in a plane, and it will be even more concrete than being a navigator in the cockpit. You will see the extent to which all the levels of inanimate, vegetative, animate, and speaking nature that are in you, and the levels that are in the 10, in the connection between you, will be connected and tuned to perceiving the impact of the whole system by the 10, and to manage it through the 10. This is the phase that we have to adapt to realistically this year. I am truly hopeful that we will reach it. The main thing is to invoke the desire to want to feel that inside us, to participate in the giant schema of the whole creation and to be inside it. A person needs to understand how the system exists in mutual cooperation, how it breathes, how he impacts it, and how it impacts him. There cannot be any special revelations in the levels of inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature that operate instinctively and quite primitively. However, on the level of the speaking is our world group and also some other small groups that are relatively striving to reach this feeling of creation in their own way. Other than that, the souls that have already been through these phases of evolution and are on different levels also connect here and exist in this dimension. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 5, 2019. Responsibility for everyone. Question: Integral education requires a group of like-minded people, since knowledge is secondary and establishing connection is primary. It is enough for everyone to build a society of at least 10 people in order to learn and change internally. In such an environment, one receives confidence, a sense of security, and so on. But there is such a phenomenon as social laziness. Being in a group, there is always an opportunity to cut corners. How should this be dealt with? Answer: In a group, everyone should take care of everyone else so that everyone is an active participant and shows everyone an example. Each one is for everyone. Question: When you were studying one-on-one with your teacher, you understood that if you do not write something down, remember it, or learn it, no one would help you. And in a group of people, I can always weasel out, thinking that someone will do it for me. What can we do? Answer: I do not know, because I have not been in such conditions. I was with my teacher and I understood what he was giving me. I must remember and pass on. And that's what I do. From Cab TV's Management Skills, June 24, 2020.